What year would it be when you know, I'm 50 years old? I was probably like 10, 11. And I thought to myself, that's like a whole new world, a whole new thing, you know. And here I am, 80, going on 82. Wow. Who would ever have thought I'd be right here tonight?
Amen.
Lord. It's only by the grace of God I'm anywhere.
Yes.
You know, and but anyway, let's get into it. You already started?
I started it.
Welcome, everyone. We love you in the Lord. We've got something wonderful for you tonight, some bread on the Lord's table. Mm. You know what? His bread never goes stale.
Yes.
It's always nutritious, meets every need, because it's a good bread. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look unto thee tonight, the only one that's able to meet our need, because you're the only one that really understands us. You're the only one that could even look into the future and see where we would be and how we would be and what our need would be. But we thank thee for thy word, which is life unto us.
Yes.
And for thy spirit, which helps and gives us strength tonight when we feel nothing. Maybe just feel like everything is just not together.
Yes.
And the fact is, Lord, we don't have it together. Yes. But you do. And we just look unto you to help us through it all. Especially to the time of maze or the time of fog.
Yes.
Lord, we need you in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm looking in 1 Peter tonight, chapter 1, and verse 13 through 16. Now, we're not reading verse 12, but the end of verse 12 says, what I'm talking about tonight here, the angel desired to look into.
Hmm.
So if the angels desire to look into it, you would think they would have this understanding, but apparently they don't, and because they don't know what it means to take on a body of flesh. But then in verse 13, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. And you know, the loins is around here, and gird it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it up, tighten it up, because you're going to need what's coming. Yep. And so we need it. Get that in our mind that we need this. Be sober. That means, you know, level-headed. You know, just a clear thinker. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, before you came to the Lord and found that, you know, I remember when I was thinking about giving my heart to the Lord when I was like 16 years old.
Mm.
And the preacher, he was talking about the Christian life and all, and becoming a Christian, being saved. And it's all new to me, being saved and all that, born again. And but anyway, I said, you know, I'm not going down there because I'm afraid I'll mess up and won't be able to live up to it. And
wow.
You know what the devil didn't tell me, and the devil never tell you the whole story. You know, only half, but half truth, still lying. But anyway, he said, the devil's, you know, struggling with you, trying to keep you from the Lord.
Amen.
Called the devil, called the work of the devil. It is to keep us, anyone, from Jesus. And the Holy Spirit coming in and helping us and giving us light. Well, little did I realize, he's going to come in, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and help us do this.
Yes, that's right.
Because we can't do it.
That's right.
And so as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, I mean in your ignorance of salvation, being saved. But as he which hath called you is, what's the word?
Holy.
So be ye
holy
in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye
holy,
for I am
holy.
And the Lord said, be holy because I am holy. Well, that's what I want us to look at tonight. And many attributes of God, but one of them is certainly holiness, you know. And so if you look at the word holiness, it comes from the word hagios, the Greek word hagios. And it simply means to be set apart. Separate, distinct, unique, and it's sacred. It means sacred.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the word saint, And the word comes from the root word where we get our word holy.
Yes.
And so we're set apart, we're separated from the world, but unto Christ.
Yes, amen.
And separate unto God. And that's called sanctification. We've been sanctified in Christ, set apart. Now, when I was in the military, I was sent to a radar base up in Greenland, 78 below zero, when it really got cold. Fun time, I tell you. And, but anyway, I had just become a Christ follower, and about a couple of years maybe, and so I went up there, and I thought, how would it be, you know, Lord, how's it going to be up there? And, of course, there was about 5,000 people there. About 3,000 of them were under contract from Denmark. Greenland's owned by Denmark, as we know. And our country has a contract with Denmark to have the base in Greenland. And it was called BMUS, Ballistic Missile Early Warning System.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into that. It would be staggering for us to hear tonight what I was privileged to learn there. What the ability we had back in the late 1960s, so you can imagine the ability we have now.
Yes.
We need Greenland. I'm not getting political, but I am getting political.
Yeah.
Because we need to pray for Greenland.
Yeah.
And that America can at least keep our contract up there, you know, whether it's ever a state or not, but keep our contract up there for our own security. And so we pray about, I was in Greenland, and the most active thing going on in my life, and the lives of several military guys up there, was the chapel program. And of course, when they had the chapel, you know, the Catholics have a service, then they shut it down, and then the Protestants have a service, you know. And then after that, Jewish people had a service. Synagogue service or whatever. Well, anyway, I am early getting there because I looked at my watch wrong, and I went in the side door. The Catholics were still having their services, and I went in the side door, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I didn't hear anything, so I go on up front and just wait until their service is over, and then the Protestant service is over. And as I was turning to walk that way, here come the priests out of this special room that looks something like a tabernacle. That's a picture of a tabernacle. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he come out of that room, and so I was walking by him, and he shifted his garment, and my hand hit his garment, and he jerked it away like I had committed a great sin. And I thought I had maybe. Because I don't know nothing about Catholicism, Protestantism. I just know I'm a sinner and need Jesus. And got saved. So all this other stuff we're learning, right?
Yeah.
And but now that I'm down the road quite a while now, and I'm sure he's long gone, but anyway, he was in that room preparing himself to be set apart to do the work of the ministry that, you know, that he's involved in.
Yes.
And so I respected that. I mean, it was an anger like the anger Jesus probably had chasing those money people out of the temple, you know.
Amen.
And so after everything was over and said, and I go back there and open the door. And I'm going to see in that room what's in there. Because whatever's in there, it's very serious to him. Maybe it ought to be serious to me.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But there were statues, you know, and that kind of bothered me. These statues. And then there was incense and stuff like that. But I felt a holy place. I felt like I was in a holy place. You know, just going by my feelings. Because I'd never seen anything like that. And so I just stood there for a few minutes, and man, I got a few chills. I just walked out. But it caused me to respect the man because he was dedicating himself to do what he was about to do, you know, serving the Lord, according to his understanding. Now, so that's what holy is all about. Now, In 1 Peter 1:16, as it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That goes all the way back to Leviticus 11:44. We're not going there, but that's where it comes from. Now, so after that experience, you know, I began to think about this thing of holiness and how we take it so casually sometimes. And God is holy.
Yes.
God is righteous. God is good. Yes. And we're unholy. We're unrighteous. We're not good.
Amen.
We need Him. We need Jesus and the Holy Spirit to help us. So, now, in the Bible, you've got holiness, which is declared to those who believe on Jesus. And He's the Holy Son of God.
Yes.
And we believe on the Holy Son of God and take Him as our Savior. And then He imputes, that means lays it to our account, holiness.
Yes.
Ain't no other way I could be accepted holy in the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
Nobody else could either.
That's right.
I mean, we're just bad off, you know. He's unapproachable unless someone intercedes for us and makes a way for us into His presence.
Yes.
And so that's what Jesus did. And so we have a declared holiness to us that we didn't earn. It was just the grace of God.
Yeah, that's right.
The moment we get saved, he declares us holy. You're separate now. You're set apart from me. Mm. Now just go and follow me. And so without holiness, the scripture says, no person shall see God.
That's right.
Because He's that holy, see. And then there is another type of holiness, which is called practical holiness, or holy living.
Yes.
It deals with, the word conversation in Scripture is talking about our conduct, not just what we're saying, but
yes,
what we're doing.
Lifestyle.
And so that's practical holiness. Mm. But practical holiness comes out of the declared holiness that God gave us by His grace.
Great.
Now, in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, that's probably one or two verses we'll be looking at tonight. Ephesians 1 and what does it say? Verse 4.
Yeah.
Yes. Who would like to read that?
Well,
okay.
Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons.
That's good. You wouldn't need to write. That's mm-hmm. good. Just verse 4.
Okay.
So He had chosen us how? In Him. You see, the Lord knew when we would come to the place where we would trust in Him. And so He knew that. And so we're chosen in Him even before the world started, foundation of the world. But why did He do it? So that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. And that word holy there is talking about positional holiness that we have when we accept Christ as our Savior. Mm-hmm. God does not look upon us as a sinner now, as an unholy. He looks upon us as being declared holy by Him. Not some pastor, not some apostle, not some pope, not some cardinal, but by Him.
Yes, right.
And that's what declares us holy, by believing in Jesus.
Amen.
And without blame before Him in love. I don't know about you, but there was a whole lot of things I'd be blamed for if it wasn't for Jesus. You know, He took our place, right? All right, so there's declared holiness, there's living holiness, practical holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And now, the goal from the point of salvation is holiness. Now, there are two institutions in the Bible that speak strongly about what holiness is all about. One is the nation of Israel. Two is the church. These are both living institutions to declare or illustrate God's holiness. Now, you know, Israel was chosen by God, not because they were more, not because they were so great, not because they were able, but because he loved them. That's what Scripture said. And he gave the Abrahamic promise in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, that if we would love, you know, in other words, pray for Israel, look to Israel, pray for the God of Israel, that's what he's talking about, and support them, he would bless you.
Right.
That goes for a nation, that goes for a person. Amen?
Amen.
Now, so, thank God for that. Now, but in Israel, there's no tabernacle, there's no temple. Temple been tore down. But I want us to think about that picture right there. I want us to think back into the Old Testament time when Moses was leading the Jews to the wilderness. And so how are we going to worship God? And so what did God do? God gave Moses' brother, Abraham, called him to be what? A priest.
Priest.
Right? Yeah. The priest. The high priest.
Yeah.
And so, and then the Lord revealed to Moses long before that how God was to be worshipped. And so God gave Moses all the information concerning that tabernacle right there.
That's right.
And you find it, you know, of course, in the Old Testament, in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And now, so the tabernacle was you know, skin, made of skin, the linens, and it was temporary. It wasn't like stone and mortar and stuff like that. That's permanent. After they got to the land, then they were to build the temple. But the replica of that, or the forerunner of the temple, which was permanent, would be the tabernacle. Now, when they're going through the wilderness, how did they know where to go and how long to stay and where to go after they stayed as long as they're supposed to stay? It's an absolute miracle how they were provided for with water and food and all that.
Right.
That's a miracle in itself. But when are we going to know, God, when you want us to move and stay? So, all right. God gave them a cloud by day, the cloud that hovered over them.
Yeah.
And that means that's where they're to stay until that cloud moved. And when that cloud moved, they were to gather up all their belongings, the tabernacle and everything, and move. And when that cloud stopped, then they started putting the tabernacle up, see, so they could worship God according to his way, his will. And, you know, it's not my way, your way, and everybody else. It's only one way, and that's God's way.
That's right.
The rest is tummy rot. It's no good. It won't work.
Yep.
Never has, never will. It's through Jesus. It's through the Holy Spirit. Now, so the type of Israel is, is the Old Testament thing that God uses to establish holiness. Set apart for God, chosen by God. As a matter of fact, Israel is called his wife.
Hmm.
Right. Lord's wife. Now, what in the world is going on? Okay. Now, when the prophets came on the scene, they began to preach to Israel to try to get their life straight and get straightened up with God so he can bless us, because we've been cursed, we've been defeated,
That's right. We're
being ruined, we're not getting anywhere. I lost my train of thought, bro. Let's see. Oh, so when the prophets came up, God raised them, and they began to go out there and preach to the people that have gone away from God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kept sinning against the Lord. And the prophets would say, you're a bunch of whores. You're playing the harlot.
Yeah.
What's that? Well, they've forsaken the Lord and they've taken up with another.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. Not that God has a wife. You know, he don't need a wife. I've talked about that before, haven't I? And then, but the church, it is called the bride.
Yes.
The bride of the Lord. Now, in that, concerning that tabernacle right there. Oh, there's so much you could go into studying tabernacle, teaching on that, but that's not my purpose. Now, I just want to use it as a, as God's illustration for what holiness is. I mean, the heathens didn't have nothing like that. They'd go right in the middle of heathen territory and set it up. Say, yep. This is God's. I mean, he made it all anyway. And so they set it up. And when that tabernacle was set up, they had an order of worship.
Yes.
Now, there was an outer linen that went all the way up, like a wall type, went all the way around. And then there was the tabernacle inside that. Now, inside the tabernacle court, just outside the tabernacle itself, was a brazen altar. And the brazen altar was made of brass. Brass is a symbol of judgment in the scripture. And when a person would sin, they would go to the ordinary priest. An ordinary priest would make the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice, appropriate unto that person,
right,
and that sin. And then they would, they would take that animal in there and put it up on that brazen altar, and it would be slaughtered.
Mm.
It would shed its blood, and the sin was confessed by the person to the priest in the Old Testament. Now, and then after that, the priest would go over to the laver cup, which was like a little water fountain type thing, and had water up here and had water down there, and they'd wash their hands and they'd wash their feet. See, they're sanctifying themselves. They're getting themselves holy for the presence into the holy place,
yes,
in the tabernacle. And so the next thing they do, they step into the tabernacle through this entrance right here. And of course, those that can't see it listening in, it's the tabernacle. You can look it up on your computers and find it. And they go through the front entrance there. And then inside that holy place, you have the table showbread. They had 12 loaves of bread in there. Each loaf representing the tribes of Israel, and it was fresh every day, except Sunday. And then you had the candles, and that represents the Lord being the light of the world.
Amen.
And then you had the altar of incense, that right there, and that's where the prayer. That means that's where the prayers were offered. And then on the other side of that curtain, separating, now this is called a holy place right here. But inside those curtains is called the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Now, only once a year, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, and that means it would cover all the sins of the people for that whole year.
Amen.
And he would go into beyond those curtains with the blood of the lamb. It was a lamb that was sacrificed, and then he would take the blood of that sacrifice, that innocent lamb that was sacrificed without blemish, you know, without any. Anything about it that was infected or anything, it would be a perfect little lamb, shed its blood. That little lamb didn't deserve to die.
No.
The wages of the sin is death. God is holy. And so there has to be a death paid, and it was an innocent animal.
Sure.
And that blood was, that high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, would go beyond that veil, beyond that curtain. That curtain is about, 8 or 9 feet tall, and 4 inches thick. When Jesus died on the cross, that thing rent it from top to bottom.
Yes.
It's right there in the Bible. From top to bottom when he died on that cross.
Wow.
So, what's he doing? He's opening up the way into the presence of the Father.
Amen.
Now, so, anyway, that high priest, who was Aaron, he'd go beyond that veil, and that other piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies, that's the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
They're still looking for that, aren't they? Yes. Now, the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that, you've got the Law of God, Ten Commandments. You've got a manna, sample of the manna that God fed them with. And Aaron's rod that budded, where God confirmed that Aaron was the one he was choosing to minister to Israel. And on top of that is a solid piece of gold. And when that high priest Aaron would put that blood on that altar, that Ark of the Covenant top there, all of a sudden, a miraculous thing happened. The brightest thing you'd ever seen and the most purest thing you could ever perceive came right down through the roof of the tabernacle and landed upon the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, and it was all gold, and it was beaten out like it looked like two angels there with their wings connected like that. And right here, right in there, was called the Shekinah glory of God.
Yes. Amen.
Wow. Yeah. Hold on just a minute. You're more involved in this than you realize if you haven't ever realized it. Because it's not you, it's not me, but it's his work.
Amen.
In us.
Yes.
And so that's inside the tabernacle there. And then the outside is something altogether. Those who would pass by through the land, if they looked over these curtains here on the outside, and they would see that rough looking tent, you know, they would say, well, what in the world is this? That's the roughest looking thing we've ever seen. You know? What do they think they're doing in there?
Yeah.
That's the way the world looks at the church.
That's right.
You know, they're nothing but a bunch of wicked people going in there because they need a crutch to lean on, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Or make sure you put your boxing gloves on. Anyway, they're in ignorance, brother, just like you and I was at one time.
Amen.
Why do people waste their time going to church? Why in the world they get all about giving money into that and doing this and doing that, thinking they're better than everybody else? That's the way they thought.
Right.
Who do these Jews think they are anyway, you know? And, well, we're worshiping. You know what? Well, you worship God. You know, the heathen don't know. They don't understand. We were on the outside at one time looking in saying, you know, why are they doing all this? What a waste of time. I could be cutting my grass, playing golf, taking a trip around the world, you know, out there making some more money. Who needs God, you know?
Right.
But then you let God pull the rug out from under them. Well, they start hitting the church door.
That's right.
Amen. When 9/11 happened, you know, they never had such an increase in church attendance.
Amen.
But within a matter of months, they were having the lowest.
Yeah.
You see, but that just shows you, God has put his spirit, we're made in his image. His Holy Spirit is not in everybody, only in believers, but his Spirit is in the creation of our soul, body, and spirit.
Right.
That they have a God consciousness. Nobody is born an atheist. They become an atheist. Mm. Nobody's born that way. They become that way.
Amen.
It's their own choice. Because they leave God out, leave the Bible out, and they won't even listen to what you've got to say about the Lord. And so, you know, hey, God's holy. Well, that's I wanted to take a glance at that tonight. And, man, I feel good just talking about that.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, that's Israel in the tabernacle. And then the church. Let me just say one more thing. That, see, the temple, that there's got to be a temple built before this thing's going to wind up going into the tribulation.
That's right.
And that is, a temple's got to be built. I don't know how that's going to happen, you know, with where they're supposed to put it is where the Oscar Omar and all that is.
Yeah.
That's for the scholars. I'm just, you know, puppy dog lid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand all that. I just know it's going to be put there.
Yeah.
And they already got the furniture made for it. Already made. They already got the priest garments made. Everything is set up to go back into this system. Hmm. Well, why are they? They're going to have sacrifices too, according to, I think it's Isaiah. Well, why are they going to go back doing all that? Didn't Jesus mean? Here's why they're doing it. They did it before, looking to the Messiah coming. And then they will be getting back into it after everything's been conquered and said and God's word fulfilled. They will be looking back. They're looking forward to giving praise. Now they're going to look backward and give him praise.
Wow.
I mean, he needs to be praised coming and going. Amen.
Amen.
Coming and going. All right. You just bear with me here. I need to move on.
Good.
Now the Amen. Church. The church. Wow. You know, a church called the body of Christ, it's just an analogy. I mean, we got many different parts of our body and so forth, and Paul uses to illustrate the many different gifts that we have in the body of Christ.
Right.
And but we, the church, we're talking about the church collectively, not individual local congregation, but even though to a degree they're supposed to do what I'm about to talk about, but as a whole, the church, the Lord has called out the church to be his heart, to be his brain, to be his hands, and to be his feet, and to be the one that loves in his place because he's working through his people. And that we feel insignificant. What good am I going to do? This world's too big for me to do anything about it. Hey, a spark can really start a big fire, can't it? Well, you know, the devil wants you and me to think we're not anything to God. We're not getting anything done. And I tell you what, if we're not, why is the evil one doing so much trying to stop us and cause us to tuck tail and run? Now, the church is set apart people to glorify God. That's simply what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
We done got so tangled up in all this denominationalism and all this and that and the other, how to do that. You know, and I remember when wired rim glasses came out, some of my brethren at Bible college I was at, some of them thought that was being worldly.
Hmm.
They thought that was being worldly.
Yeah.
You know, they talked to me about you being worldly, brother. I mean, we have really missed it, haven't we?
Yes.
Hey,
certainly have.
We're the body of Christ. Amen. Now, the cross was holy, distinct, unique, set aside. There were others that died on crosses out of Roman persecution, but it's the one who died on that cross.
Yes.
There's none like him, without sin, Son of God. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, who can understand that phenomenon? And he came to die on that cross. Somebody said, just think about what he could do if he had lived to be 100 years old. Hey, he came at the right time,
and
he died at the right time.
That's right.
God's time, the Father's time.
That's right.
All that other stuff's Tommy Rotten they talk
about. Yeah.
The cross is wholly distinct. And his blood was paid for our sins. Peter said, Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the cross. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, when he saw Jesus coming. Mm-hmm. Now all this is going to culminate in just a minute here. Hebrew writer, he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Amen.
So all that back there in that tabernacle that was taking place, the priest and high priest and ordinary priest, the sacrifices, the blood that was shed, you see how that sinner got his sins forgiven? It was going through that holy order. Those heathens didn't do anything like that.
Right.
They weren't interested in all that. And this was God's order, and it's God's people he's dealing with and their sins, and that separates them from the rest of all the other world. The Hittites, the Gergesites, the Gergesites. I can't even remember all that crowd. But anyway, the whole crowd was lost.
Yes.
And they didn't worship God. Now, they had their own gods. They had their own things they worshiped. But, hey, it was in vain. Mm-hmm. Just like we got today.
Right.
I can't get into everything I want to get into tonight, but I tell you what, it's incredible what's going on in the name of God, when God has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
But yet, if something goes wrong, they blame him for it. That's what the devil wants. All right, so, well, the Bible, it's a holy book. The church, it's a holy gathering place for the people of God. And, you know, this gathering place is holy tonight because it's set aside for this gathering.
Yes, that's right.
And it's just as holy if this room was filled and you had one of the best speakers in the world come in here. It's just as good, just as holy, and just as much done by just doing what God said do.
That's right.
Now, I want to bring this out because I was confused for a long time about this before I knew anything about the Bible and the Lord and all. And that is, you know, the word holy also comes from the word sanctification, and the word saint comes from the word hagios, which is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul referred to the believers in when he would address the churches in various places, he would refer to them to the saints of Colossae, mm-hmm. to the saints at Philippi, to the saints at Ephesus. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? Had they died and come back down here and they declared, no? No. When you take Christ as your Savior, He ushers you into that holy place, and your sins are forgiven,
yes.
and you are now imputed with the righteousness of God, and He's given you His holy nature.
Amen.
Man, that you're getting into the real spiritual realm then, see? And we have been placed into, in Christ, we have been placed into that.
Right.
All that was fulfilled in Christ, see, when He died on that cross. So we don't need that priesthood no more. We don't need that tabernacle no more.
Amen.
We don't need that way no more. But we are called saints.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, when I first got saved, I felt like a saint. I really did. I felt like I was a saint. Because I tell you what, I think different. I see God different. I see my fellow man different. I see myself different. I mean, I walked on cloud nine for about 6 months. Mm. And anyway... But as you get out here and then get involved in this battle going on, the spiritual world, warfare and all that, man, all of a sudden you know, hey, I don't feel too saintly. I don't feel too saintly. I feel like I've had it sometime. And how much longer, Lord? How long? And but here's the thing. God sees us as saints, because the word saint simply means set aside.
Right.
Set aside, separated from everything else going on in the world. Now, so here's the thing. We're not to pray to saints. We're not to... Now, the idea... Now, we got people that we talk about sometimes. Have you ever met? Did you ever hear so-and-so? As godly people, and they proved to be godly. They held out to the end, and they were godly people. And they weren't stealing money, and they wouldn't run off somebody else's wife and all that. I mean, they're godly people, right? Doing it right, but yet big for God. There's a lot of them. And through the years, I can name several that really kept me on track. Without them, I never met them.
Yes.
I just heard them, you know. Man, did they get my attention. And still here, still shouting the victory. Now, what was that? I'll say. Now, we put these people of God that God has greatly used kind of up on a pedestal, so to speak. Not worshiping them, but just praising God for them.
Right.
Now, if you want to call that a saint, okay. But they didn't die. They were already a saint.
Right.
You know? And so, that really confused. So, I'm straight on that now. We're called saints, separated from God. That's all it means.
Amen.
Now, we could be good examples or bad examples. That's up to us in our walk with the Lord.
That's right.
Now, so in a, now, you know, people, I mean, through the years, I said, where do you go to church? I go to the First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Where do you go? I go to the, Free Will Baptist Church, original yeah. Free Will Baptist. Yeah. I don't just go to Free Will, I go to the original Free Will.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we don't need all that.
No.
We don't need all that. Now the separation, that's what, we've been declared holy, you know, separated. God doesn't see us as he sees the rest in the world now, his church.
Amen.
Now there's a doctrinal separation, and then there is a practical separation or holiness. Doctrine is holy. There's holy doctrine, there's unholy doctrine. Now, if somebody invited me to church, I said, well, what do y'all believe? They call it a statement of faith. What is your doctrine, you know? That's what we're talking about. Now there's a statement of faith. What does that cover? It covers the Bible, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It covers, what is the church? It covers sin, it covers Satan, it covers hell, it covers heaven, it covers the judgments. There's seven of them mentioned in Scripture, in the New Testament, seven judgments. It covers how you're saved, delivered, born again. It covers resurrection. It covers prophecy. So when these so-so get on TV and computers and all that and start spouting off what they you know, say,
right.
You send them an email or something and say, well, what is your doctrine? What do you believe?
Right.
Many of them won't even say it to you because they're hiding. They don't want you to know what they really believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Lord help us with that. That's doctrinal holiness. That will cost you right there.
Mm.
That will cost you to take a holy doctrinal stand because this is what the Bible teaches. And then there's a practical holiness. They call it asceticism, and they referred to John the Baptist as an ascetic, you know, because
right.
he ate honey, wore camel's hair. You know, you can sacrifice no more than that and be called holy for God, and he was the baptized Jesus. Now, practical holiness is talking about our practice, our daily conduct.
That's right.
Our discipline, our testimonies, abstaining from indulgences. Now, years ago, he said, you know what? I can go to the Methodist church. I can drink, dine, and wine, and dance. But if I go to the Baptist church, I can't do that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you know, like it's, you can pick what you want, and God will say it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's only okay when God says it's okay.
That's right.
That's what I like about it. You see, we don't have no sense, spiritually speaking. And
right.
I remember in the old days, you could tell a Pentecostal holiness. I mean, them women wore them dresses down to here. They had their hair up in a bun.
Yeah.
And I mean to tell you, they had their eye on everything. If it's anything bad about it, I'm not going near it, you know. They were called holiness.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're serious about what they believe. And the only thing about it is they thought that would make them holy just because they wore their hair like that
right.
and wore their dress like that would make them holy. But if you go out there and live like the devil, that ain't holy.
No.
So that's practical. All right. There was something else I want to go, but I don't believe the Lord wants me to do that tonight. That'd take another half an hour or so. And I think I did what I should do right here. But you know, I did all that to say this. You know, if you got Jesus, you're okay.
Amen.
With God. You got Jesus, you don't have to go through all these rituals and ceremonies. Why? What's that going to attain you?
Right.
No, that's not going to do you no good. What people are looking for is what is already revealed and found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, if you get him,
that's
you
right.
get everything. You get it all. Well, what else can I say except amen? Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, for this time, in our vulnerabilities, but yet you still bless because this is your word, these are your people, and you want us to look unto thee, from which cometh our help. And then you will help us with these unholy things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Howard Slough, Home Group Meeting, 29 April 2025. Amen.